And I thank you all. I grew up in the Baptist church, and you're making me feel like I'm still a child with everybody sitting in the back. Thank you. It's almost like having a kidney stone. But thank you. I always thought we should take out the front pews and rent it out during the week for an office space or something and get used for it. So, thank you. The plan is for the next 3 weeks to talk about the scripture. And, you may love the scripture as much as I do, but I don't think you can love it more than I do. I've loved the Word of God ever since I was a child, and have spent so many years just reading it and delving into it. Spent one stretch, in addition to full-time work, spent one stretch of devoting about 35 to at least 35 hours a week to translating the New Testament into English so that an English reader could read the New Testament as if reading in Greek. And started off on that project and completed it 35 hours a week minimum, and completed it almost to the day 7 years later. So you may love the Word as much as me, but I don't think you can love it more than me. So what I would like to do in these next few weeks is to share some of the most important aspects of the Word with you that I have found, and see if that can't be meaningful to you. And we'll look at three each week. The first is, and we've touched on this, or maybe more than touched on it, but over the years this has become increasingly important in my understanding of the scripture, and that is to see the scripture as a story. The scripture is a story. It has a beginning, it has the middle parts, and it has an ending. It is a story. And I could spend the rest of the week, but won't do that. To point out and to emphasize well-meaning efforts, but some things have been done to Scripture that have tore it up as a story. Chapters and verses, not a part of the original story. They were inserted in there. Again, we've touched on this, but it's so important. See the Scripture as a story. And your favorite story, I brought this out from the office. This is my favorite fictional story. And it's Lord of the Rings. This is a 7-book set, divides it up into 7 parts. This was given to me by our oldest son, Jonathan, because he loves the story as well. It's a story, it's divided up, you see, it got individual books, but it's all part of one story. And you can study about the story, you can talk about the story, but it's a story. You need to know the story. The ones who love this book, love the story. And if what has been done to the story of all stories, the scriptures, would have been done to this book or to any other book, to your favorite book other than hopefully the Bible, it would undermine it as a story. If you took each sentence, separated it, put a number to it, if you inserted chapters where the author doesn't have chapters, it would interrupt the story. And the Word of God has been interrupted that way. You can't get into the flow of it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, how does the story begin? In the beginning. It's a story. In the beginning. And in the story, it beckons you to say, okay, what happens next? And in the story, it is presented in such a way, that as the story unfolds, that's the question you are meant to ask over and over again. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And it unfolds before you. But taking every line and dividing up, putting a verse on it, interrupts the story, throwing chapters in there. Chapters and verses were put into the story by, not by the Spirit, but were put in there by people who wanted to, why we use it, to allow those who are studying the story to have a quick reference and find their place. And so they divided up each sentence, and every so often they said, let's have a chapter to break it up. And many times the chapters have no, or not even intended to be a marking place in the story. It's just to divide up the story into sections so that it can, you can find your place in studying it very readily. But it interrupts the story. I know we've talked about this, but we'll use some of this as my continual venting over the situation. So you can bill me for this later. I won't pay you, but you can bill me for it. And that's the headings that have been thrown into the story. This is someone, these are not a part of the story either, and this is someone coming along and continually telling you what's going to happen next. So sit down again with a favorite book, favorite movie, and have someone sit beside you, and every little bit have them tell you what's going to happen next in the book or in the movie, and see how long that lasts before you find something to do. And the Word of God, the story has constantly been broken up in this manner, and it interrupts the story. We're so used to it. It can even, it's not intended to be anything harm other than to make a point, but it's even the case when we get up and speak on Sunday mornings that invariably there's a text given, which is what, just a little bit from the story and then talked about. And we do that week after week. But the question that is beckoning us to ask, okay, I hear the section, I get the pieces, but what's the what? What's the story? What's the story? In the story itself, it'll refer back to other parts of the story, the Word of God. And you never hear the Word of God speaking about itself that way. It'll say, in, just like you would, how many have ever been, I've not been, other than, if you can consider classroom one, but how many have ever been part of a book club? Anybody? If you have, you're ashamed to admit it. Is that it? No, I think they're pretty good, I guess. But they sit around and they talk about what? The book that they've read. And what are they, when you sit around and talk about, or just if you're talking about a favorite movie or a favorite book, how do you talk about it? Well, you know, the first part of the book, I like this. Or you remember when this was happening in the story? Or toward the end, I really like that part. That's the way the scripture is. It's a story. There's a newer version of this, and I brought it in case anybody wants to look at it. Just because you can't find hardly a Bible that, a full Bible, I don't know if there is a complete Bible that is laid out as a story anymore. That's, the end result of that is, so many people have trouble picking up and reading the Bible. Who wouldn't? What's been done to it? Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? And I can't think of a complete version of the Bible that has it down just as it was written. In the second letter of Paul to Timothy, and this is the overarching verse we'll use for this series of messages. Paul writes an interesting phrase. He says, all scripture is And then he joins two words together to make one word. And so it's, in translating it in English, it's been translated in different ways. But the two words he puts together, he says, all scripture is, and the two words he links together is theos and pneuma, God, Spirit. And he joins those together. And we've mentioned a few times that the word spirit in both the Old Testament and New Testament means spirit, it means breath, and it means wind, all three. It's just a matter of how you want to translate it, in what context. That's why some of the translations of that verse, that section in the second letter of Timothy is, it's God breathed, but it's God's spirit, God spirited. And how God spirited the story, you can't find it that way anymore. To me, that's sad. This is a, let's say there's a newer version. I don't know who even puts it out. Just called the story. What it does, it takes portions of the scripture and joins them together and lays it out like a book, which is the way the story was God-spirited. And just, I'll leave it up here if you want to come up and look at it. Just to open it up and look at it, what it does, it leaves out some parts of the story and organizes the story for us so that we can follow the story. And I think one of the things we should, instead in the story, any questions that come up are intended by the author, God-spirited. Even though God used human writers, God-spirited the story. He made it happen. And there are aspects of it, whenever a question comes up, the author intended it for them to come up so that it might look to him for the answers. But to come up and look at it and just see how different it is from any Bible, what we're saying, it's a story. And it streamlines the story. It leaves out sections. And so you can't get the full story, but you can get the heart of the story by looking at this. And if nothing else, I encourage you to look at it just to see how the story was laid out and how much different that is from any Bible that you pick up and how much easier it is tended to be read in this way. It's a story. The scripture is the story. Second aspect we'll look at today is spirit. Spirit. Jesus said, in the middle part of the Gospel of John, and titles also were not part of the story as it was God-spirited. And Jesus said, when the Spirit come, He, the Spirit, will teach you all things. It is vitally important, first, that when you realize it's a story and begin to read it as a story, that you allow the Holy Spirit to tell you the story. Only the Holy Spirit can guide you through and put the story together and tell you the story as it needs to be told. Oh, by the way, the order of the books of the Old Testament were changed. And the original order of the books of the Old Testament lets the story unfold much more evenly and smoothly. But the Spirit, however, if we look to the Spirit and read the Scripture as story, to hear what God is saying to you is so important, because the Spirit needs to be the one to tell you the story. When I was a little boy, me and my brothers, we'd gather in the room sometimes at night, and Dad would come in and tell us stories. Some of our favorite involved the white wolf. Invariably, the children would be in trouble, and the white wolf would come and save the day. Used to love those stories when he'd come in and sit beside us and tell us stories of the white wolf. took the opportunity to do so with the boys as they grew up, to sit down with them and tell them stories of the white wolf and precious times together. The storyteller for this story needs to be the Holy Spirit. Paul writes again in his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "We are not sufficient in and of ourselves to reason anything. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves to reason anything." This is why we need to rely upon the Spirit to teach us. He says, "For our sufficiency is out of God." We need to look to Him. And then just a little bit later, he says, "For the letter is killing and the Spirit is making alive." If we take the Scripture with a dependence upon our own selves, we focus in on the letter of the Scripture, and the letter of the Scripture causes death. Causes death. If we try to figure out the story, if we try to understand the Scriptures on our own, in and of our own selves, we cannot reason it out correctly. We do not have that ability. The way we understand the story is the Holy Spirit tells the story, He reveals it to us within our spirit, and then from that, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it in our soul. Otherwise, if we just come to it in our own abilities and try to understand it in our own selves, we end up taking the letter of the Scripture, and it does not bring us life with God. It does not bring us life as God intended. It instead brings us death. Just a couple examples of that within the story itself. When our Lord and Savior walked this earth on a Sabbath, when the letter of the story says you shall do no work on the Sabbath, He healed. And the religious leaders, the scholars of the story, by the letter of the story, condemned him. And Jesus reminded them of the spirit of the story. And he said that the Sabbath was made for the humans, not the human for the Sabbath. And that he, as the son of the human, as the Son of Man, was Lord even of the Sabbath.